Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We get a chance to visit with Dr. Christopher Merritt. He is the director for the Illinois Institute for Rural Affairs, and that, of course, is housed at Western Illinois University in Macomb. They're helping partner and co-hosting a webinar, and it's called The Impacts of Dollar General Stores on Rural Illinois Communities. Now, man, our listening audience, especially those key stakeholders out there involved in local government, things of that nature, they're going to want to listen to this. So the motivation, Dr. Merritt, of putting this together. Now, I know the information that you provided in terms of the growth of these Dollar General stores, I think 4,200 in 2000 nationwide, and now there are more than 14,600. So I assume in a lot of those locating in small towns, of course, was that kind of the motivation behind putting something like this together?
Exactly. They're really adopting what I would call a counterintuitive business model. You know, typically, retail chains will expand into areas that are experiencing population growth, right? You go where the growth is, to be honest. That's where the consumers are. And yet Dollar General, has cleverly figured out a growth strategy moving into areas that have seen population decline. Right. So, into the counties of, Western Illinois, downstate Illinois, counties with populations that peaked decades ago, but here's Dollar General moving in and expanding. And so we thought, this was a phenomenon that we needed to look at more closely.
And I guess, the people that are listening will say, well, is he saying it is good or is he saying it is bad? Now, when I kind of try and size this thing up, I know the Walmart issue is the big issue in the 80s, early 90s. If Walmart comes to town, it's going to have this significant impact on Main Street or the downtown merchants that were in retail trade. And it's taken a while to figure out, well, how do those small businesses in downtown recover? Well, a lot of them didn't, and maybe a lot of them still haven't figured out how do you battle a Walmart. Now, Dollar General, you look at this issue, and specifically as it relates to small towns, as you describe it, I think if you're a small town and you have some retail trade, but then a Dollar General comes to town, I think that probably will provide a detrimental impact to that local business community in terms of, if those other retail businesses can stay afloat. But conversely, if they locate in a town where there's no retail trade, the net gain or the net positive occurs. Is that kind of how you weigh this debate, you think, or not?
That's right. I think you've captured at least our perspective on things, that Dollar General is a mixed blessing. You can document a lot of positives. As you say, if a community lost its grocery store 20 years ago, and we know that there are many rural places where that's the case, then having a Dollar General locate in their community is a quality of life enhancer. It's a convenience, absolutely. You'd say, the product line may not be as expansive as the Hy-Vee or whatever that might be, or the Schnucks. On the other hand, I don't have to drive 25 miles to the grocery store to get some basic food items. So that's a positive. One could also, some small towns, I think, have this, we might call it a psychology of decline. They haven't seen, a nice new retail establishment built in several years. They've seen storefronts closing, and to see a new Dollar General come in, a nice bright yellow sign, a nice new parking lot, that's viewed very positively, and you can talk, and to be honest, there's a lot of other positives as well. People will talk about the ease of shopping at a Dollar General as opposed to going to the Walmart, for example, with its acres of parking lot and its dozens of aisles. For many people, the Dollar General store is kind of an easy in, easy out. So again, lots of positives. On the negative side, as you've suggested, if a community already has a retail base, but it's family-owned with narrow profit margins, Dollar General can outcompete them every day. And ultimately what will happen is that you will lose some of these family-owned businesses. And that's a shame, because family-owned businesses, the profits tend to stay locally, and that's better for the community as opposed to profits leaving the community back to corporate headquarters.
And then I look at, you know, the other positive, that they create retail sales tax, so that they're generating sales tax for that community. And, you know, I don't know what employee pay is at Dollar General's, but they are also employing people. So that's a positive on their side, too.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, as we've been looking at where the Dollar General stores are located. Again, a plus and minus, there are Dollar General stores that are locating downtown in some of our small towns. We think that that's great. On the other hand, there are and hiring people, bringing them back downtown, and of course that creates foot traffic for the other stores. So we think that that's what a good entrepreneurial ecosystem needs, right? That one store generates foot traffic for the other stores in the region. Of course, on the negative side, there are some Dollar Generals that are located way out at the edge of town, you know, at the intersection with the main highway. That, of course, takes traffic away from the downtown. And so, again, Dollar General with, at least at the local level, sort of a mixed blessing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because originally where I'm doing this interview from, in Aledo, originally when Dollar General located in Aledo, it was downtown, and then it relocated to a bigger property. Not in downtown. Now, a lot of people will say that impacted kind of the retail flow of, you know, what happened in downtown Aledo. And I know there's some rebirth going on with one developer in downtown Aledo that is coming in to try and do some stuff. But it's been a challenge, to say the least, since they have relocated. And the other thing I was thinking about, has there been much talk, and I'm speaking specifically to small towns that have a Walmart, you know, maybe those towns that are less than 10,000 that have a Walmart, in the impact that Dollar General has had on them?
You know, I've not actually seen much discussion about that. It seems to me that, at least in our sort of it's called as a casual observation, that the Dollar General can coexist with a Walmart quite well. And in fact, you know, in Macomb, for example, there's two Dollar Generals with a thriving Walmart. So in some ways, one could see that while there absolutely is a huge overlap in clientele, not entirely. And again, I know that there are some people that, there is a slight sense of people would in fact choose a Dollar General over a Walmart for certain items. I think this is absolutely true. I know anecdotally that senior citizens, for example, would much rather go to the smaller store. It's, you know, easier to navigate, easy in, easy out. And of course, if you're at the Walmart, I know they've got 28 cash registers, but there's only ever two with staffing, right? So it takes you a long time to get in and out of a Walmart as opposed to a Dollar General, which is, you know, it's more than a convenience store, but it offers convenience.
And I guess the other thing here, when you're talking about, you know, Dollar Generals, they create sales tax, they create, you know, a place of employment as they hire people to work there. And then, you know, they do create a property tax base, but it's interesting here because, you know, they're not company-owned stores. It's normally, you know, leasing property. And then debate comes into play if local governments are offering them some type of incentive to come in, whether it's in a TIF or whatever type of incentive that can be provided to maybe bring one of these stores to small town. Do you get into that, or do you see a lot of
Yes, we do. Of course, Walmart, it was the same thing. There's lots of communities in Illinois where the Walmart came into a TIF district or an enterprise zone. So that issue of to what extent are we actually generating local taxes? That's sort of a murky issue to be sure. But I think it's a point well made that where there wasn't an existing grocery store, there is employment opportunities. There is some, initial startup construction costs. And I do know that there are a lot of Dollar Generals that do have greenfield development. They do build a store, although it's pretty Spartan. And so there is a positive economic impact that can be measured. What's remarkable is that even during COVID, Dollar Generals are expanding. So, I was making the point earlier that it's sort of a counterintuitive business model that you could go into places with a declining population and grow. And even during COVID, Dollar General stores continue to grow. So there's something, think about essential services that Dollar General seem to be offering and that consumers are buying into.
Interesting observation. And so this webinar that you're putting on, can you kind of so you're going to get into basically what? And I mean, is the main audience you're talking about kind of rural stakeholders, economic development officials, things of that nature in terms of what they need to weigh if they want to bring one of these to their town?
Absolutely. And in fact, one of the things that we do, and this is my colleague Adi Athiaman, is a professor of marketing who works with the Institute for Rural Affairs. What we've done is we've actually calculated at a county level to what extent you are underserved, adequately served, or overserved by existing retail within that sort of convenience store, grocery store market. And so we'd like to show some of our research that might help local officials make an assessment. Are you, if you're in pursuit of a Dollar General store, are you currently underserved where there's actually, you will benefit, that there won't be a huge negative repercussion to your existing retail stores? Or are you adequately served? Or if in fact you're overserved, and bringing in a Dollar General store will absolutely hurt existing retail establishments. So we've made these kinds of mathematical models to try to make these predictions. And we'd like to make these services available to local economic developers and other people who might be interested.
And then as you're talking, I was thinking about, the issue of community involvement as it relates to enterprise. So I'm thinking about a locally owned business where the owner lives, so we'll say, in Aledo, and the local organization knocks on their door and says, can you contribute, whatever, to the booster club? And the local mom and pop business owner, yes. But does that happen with Dollar General? And how engaged are they in the community? And I know that always is a big debate in a lot of these small towns that I talk to business owners that have been there forever, and they say, hey, man, I gave to post-prom. I made this donation. And my margin is really narrow.
But absolutely.
You bang on my door every day, and a lot of us, you're going to support my business, but then we get back to this convenience thing and this price thing that, a lot of us default on too.
So, it's true.
So in terms of measuring community involvement and community engagement of these stores that proliferate to the tune of 14,609 nationally, again, you're talking about a growth of 10,000 stores with Dollar General from 2000 to 2020, a lot of them in small towns. Now, are they engaged and involved in the community? Now, I'm not asking you that, but I'm assuming that you have to ask these stakeholders, that you have to have these type of conversations too. But unfortunately, a lot of times, those conversations occur after the store's already there.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So the issue of Dollar General stores is really it's a murky issue. During COVID, for example, again, I'm making the point that they have been growing, you know, in the midst of a pandemic when there are so many restaurants and retail outlets that have had to shutter. Dollar General continues to grow, and obviously one of the biggest sectors of retail that they're selling are household goods, right? That, you know, paper towel and soaps and hand sanitizer and all of these other things, and they're thriving on that market. And there was actually employee dissatisfaction voice that, you know, here they were frontline workers and they didn't feel as though Dollar General was protecting them, even though here they were, you know, extending hours, you know, trying to serve this expanded demand. And yet there was some concern that Dollar General's corporate policy wasn't protecting the workers. And so, I think that was, you know, maybe there was a course correction made. I think Dollar General has sort of stepped up to address those issues. But to your point about community engagement and concern, if you will, beyond a corporate profitability, and it's a good question.
And maybe you guys can get into that in the webinar. But, you know, as we wrap up here, the one thing that is so interesting to me that you brought up is this counterintuitive business model they have, which is so amazing, really, when you think about it. And it's a credit to them that they figured out this business model where they're basically locating in, you know, communities or areas where you're seeing declining population, but they're having great success. I mean, that's amazing.
Exactly. And as we wind up here, you know, it raises the question of, was there a sort of a pre-existing underclass that Dollar General happens to be taking advantage of because of their pricing model and the size of the products? You know, it's very inexpensive to buy Dollar General products, but one of the ways they do that is by, it's a small packaging, right? So it's a high per unit cost, but it's such a small unit size that they're able to sell it inexpensively. And then the point and the question that some people are raising is Dollar General thriving because of this pre-existing lower class, or is Dollar General actually contributing to it? And so I don't have a clear answer on that, but that's what the debate is. And that gives sort of a broader question about what's the future of rural America? If the expansion of Dollar General is sort of an omen, if you will, of the future, you know, what does that mean for rural communities? So that's part of the issue that I think we'll be talking about during our webinar.
Yeah, that's great conversation starter. Is, you know, there's a lot of different facets that you can segue from regarding this conversation about Dollar General. So again, the webinar is Thursday, October the 8th at noon. Again, this is for local officials especially. So how can one access, again, this webinar, the impacts of Dollar General stores on rural Illinois communities?
Right, at University of Illinois Extension. They're the hosting this, and so you can go online to U of I Extension, and there will be link information there.
All right. Well, I want to tell the people in our listening audience, the Illinois Institute for Rural Affairs speaks to people like us in Aledo. So I'm very pleased that it continues to be housed and is flourishing on the campus of Western Illinois University in Macomb. Dr. Merritt, appreciate the visit. Keep up the good work down there.
Thank you very much.
And you're listening to WRMJ.